Open your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians as we get back into Ephesians. I hear Jonah was preaching to you guys. And I'm sure you guys got convicted, stirred up, repented, and are ready to walk in the Spirit now. So, that's why I leave, so Easy can clean up the church and I can come back and teach. It's great. I love it. Ephesians chapter 5. We're looking at the household harmony. The household harmony. We're looking at in Ephesians, as we've begun in the more exhortational part of the book, chapter 4 started that, we saw the word walk occurs many times. It's about the walk, the Christian walk. We saw in the first three chapters the work of the cross, the work of God, how we were saved by God's grace totally, wholly, completely, nothing to do with us, predestined before time began. We weren't around to say, God, here, look at me, love you, predestine me, and when we get down in history, I'll be there. No, we weren't there. God did it, the work. Predestined us for salvation. Wonderful. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's the work. But after we begin to understand the work, after we begin to understand grace, there's that practical side of, yeah, it's 100% of God, but now let's go. Let's partake of it. Let's enter in by faith. Let's walk, we say, the walk of faith. Let's walk. You know, the whole book of Hebrews is given over to entering in to the rest. Climaxing there in Hebrews chapter 4, talking about the rest. But as you continue to go on in the book of Hebrews, as it climaxes into chapter 11, it's the chapter of faith. It's about faith. And then he goes on talking about this race, this course, this path set before us in chapter 12. Running that race. Laying aside anything that would hinder you or anything that would trip you up and snare you, and looking unto Jesus and moving forward, going on into the things of God. So the work has been done, the price has been paid, the grace of God has been poured out upon us. But there's a practical side, and I think there's a perfect balance. You can find it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and I've said this before. Because there he says, you are God's workmanship. It's God's work. You are his handiwork. You were created new, born again, new creation in Christ Jesus, and you were made and prepared for good works, which God prepared beforehand. The works that you're to walk in, God has already prepared. It's all part of the work of the cross. Every bit of it. It's all going to be done by the power of the Spirit, which is based upon what Christ did. But it goes on to say there in verse 10 of chapter 2, and we are to walk in them. The works prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so Paul spends three more chapters, 4, 5, and 6, on how to walk. And we saw the walk of unity there in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And then in chapter 4, from verse 17 on through chapter 5, verse 20, we saw the walk of purity. We talked about that, a very important passage, a very important teachings there about holiness, about walking as children of light, as it says in chapter 5. Walking worthy of the calling, as it says in 4:1. Not walking, as it says in 4:17, as the rest of the world walks, as the Gentiles in depravity, but walking in holiness and walking in righteousness, as he goes on to say, in true holiness, and putting off the old man, the old things of the flesh. Paul says it this way in Romans, in chapter 14, at the last verse, he says, chapter 13, the last verse there, he says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of it. And there in the same context, he talks about casting off the works of darkness, putting on the armor of light, the walk. So many times I watch Christians get a hold of, especially here at Saving Grace, get a hold of God's grace. That's a wonderful thing to see. That's so beautiful when I see a Christian get a hold of God's grace. But many times we miss the balance of let's go. Let's walk. Let's move. Let's enter in, labor to enter into the rest by what faith. Let's go. Let's move on into the things of the Spirit, into the things of God. Going deeper and deeper and deeper into the heart of God. And so many times I see Christians, they can give me the theology of grace. They can give me the understanding of grace. They can counsel somebody else in it, but there's no power in their life. They feel defeated. That's because they've missed, though the work's done, there's still a walk to be walked. Let's go. We need to believe. We've got to trust. We've got to yield. We have to humble ourselves. All these things, we need to move on into the things of God. And missing out on the sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ, the empowering from on high, all of these wonderful things that are offered to us in Christ. Not just saying, positionally, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing, but being able to say, practically, I'm experiencing all of those spiritual blessings. And it's awesome to see. Now tonight we get to the section here from verses 21 actually. We already looked at that. We spent a week on verse 21 because it's the foundation to this next section, which really brings us from verse 21 on through to chapter 6, verse 9. And that section is the walk of harmony, household harmony. And it's interesting, it's talking about the relations that we have with one another. When you get down to the practical part of the walk, you get down to the house, the home, the dwelling place where people dwell together. And when people dwell together, you know if the Spirit is dwelling in them or if He isn't. Because that's where it's all manifested. Where I am spiritually won't be known by what I say from this platform, but what I say to my wife, how I treat my kids, how I deal with the affairs within the closed doors of my home. And so it is with each one of us. And it's interesting because in this section we see the marital relationship. We see the child and the parents' relationship. We see the relationship at this time, which was in the household, the master and slave. The service that we would do or the things that we would do to provide for ourselves. As today, we might be going beyond the household, but in the same context is where you're revealed, where you are with the Lord. What's manifested there is what's true about you spiritually, there in the workplace. Even if you're an employer or an employee. Aren't those the hardest areas, the most trial-filled areas of your life at home? If it would be husbands with your wife or wives with your husbands, if it would be parents with your children or children with your parents, and it even moves on to the next greatest trial of your life, where you work, your boss, people you work with, oh man, gets difficult. But according to the Word here, according to what God has left us, that's where the walk really makes the head, if you would. That's where it all comes together. And the Lord isn't just calling us to be spiritual within the church, but He's calling the church to be spiritual when they're out in the world. Because that's when the church has really been the church. And that's where the real unity comes and the purity is manifested. You see, all of these things, the walk of unity, the walk of purity, the walk of harmony, they all tie together. They all overflow, overlap one another. You see, if my walk with the Lord, my unity with the Lord is messed up, my unity with you will be messed up. And therefore, when my unity with the Lord, my fellowship with God is messed up, my purity will probably be messed up too. And if my purity is messed up and the unity of the body is messed up, the harmony with other people the relationships that I have are going to be all messed up too. You see, you can't take, well, I'm going to, I like the harmony thing, but the purity thing I'm not really for. You can't just pick and choose out of the Word. It's all there, and it's from a Father. It's from our Father, our Heavenly Father. As Paul calls him in chapter 3, the Father to whom we bow our knee, to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family on heaven and earth is named. The Heavenly Father, who is a loving, caring Father, has given us instruction that we might be blessed and that we might flourish in the things of Him. You see, the commandments that are here before us tonight and that we've already previously studied are only for your blessing, your satisfaction, for you to be enriched in the things of the Lord and in life, for your happiness. God knows what's going to satisfy us. We don't. In fact, the things that we think will satisfy us are the very things that bring us dissatisfaction. But it's those things which we say, that won't bring me any satisfaction, is that which brings us satisfaction. Why? We're carnal, He's spiritual. We think earthly, He thinks heavenly. And give it, the heavenly view is a view that sees the beginning to the end. And when you see the beginning to the end, you see the whole thing. And you can say, this is what works and this doesn't. Not only does He see the beginning to the end, He's the creator of mankind. That means He fashioned you and made you and knows what you need. You know, if you somebody's car breaks, you go to the manufacturer and you get a book on how to work on that car and how every piece goes together. You don't go down the street to the computer guy, the techie, and get a book on your car. No, you do that for your computer. Why? Because he's the guy that made the computer and he knows what's in that computer. Because he's the pro. Well, the Lord is the pro of humanity. He knows what we need, when we need it, why we need it, and He doesn't have to explain any of it. He just says, this is what you need. Here it is. Do it, children. Love you. Man, and if you do, you'll be blessed. And it's so true. So many times people look at these passages that we've been looking at and continuing to look at as commandments. Like, that's a bad thing, commandments. I love what John says. He says, His commandments are not burdensome. 1 John chapter 5, I believe it's verse 3. The Lord's commandments aren't a bummer. They're not a burden. In fact, He said, hey, you who are weary and heavy laden, burdened out, you guys come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Come, learn about me. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble of heart. You'll find rest for your soul. Each one of us are looking for rest for our souls. Come to Him. And that's what we're doing, as we come to Him. And it's so important for us to see this. Now, we saw in verse 21, we saw that unity comes when there's, that harmony will happen when there's that submitting to one another. Now, Paul's speaking generally of the church. Now, he's talking to Christians, and that's important to know. So if you're not a Christian tonight, you can try your hardest to do these things, but they won't work for you because you lack the power of Almighty God. And they'll just be laws and bummer commandments that you'll break and just feel condemned and you'll leave saying it doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work unless you're filled with the Spirit, as we see in verse 18. It says, don't be drunk with wine there, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's a key passage here. And so if you're not a Christian tonight, what you need is to get saved. You need to get saved tonight. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Because you need to get filled with the Spirit. And you can't be filled with the Spirit if you're filled with self and filled with you and filled with the world and filled with everything else. You need to realize tonight you need salvation. Now, there is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus Christ. And tonight is the night for salvation. Tonight is the night God has brought you here to say, listen, I love you. and I want to bless your marriage, or I want to bless your relationships, or I want to bless, but there's sin. There's sin in the way. And that sin is not only damaging those relationships, but that sin is separating you from me. And that's the main problem. The other things are just a manifestation of the separation between you and me. And the Word of God teaches that Jesus Christ came to bring reconciliation between you and your God. That God is coming to reconcile man through the cross of Jesus Christ. And He'll bring peace through that reconciliation. We have been justified by faith, and we have peace through the cross. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It goes on in Romans chapter 5 to talk about that God has reconciled us to Himself. See, God wants to draw you to Himself. But you've got to first realize that you're a sinner and you're in sin, and you need to repent and turn from your sin and come to the Lord, that you might then be filled with the Spirit, and that God might become one with you in heart. And God might start to dwell in your inner man, and you'll be created anew, born again. You'll have a whole new aspect or a whole new outlook on life. And you'll have an ability to do these things that are set before us. So I urge you tonight, if you're not a Christian, come to the Lord. Receive salvation. After the teaching, the prayer room will be open. People in there want to pray with you. Go in there. Say, I want to get saved. I want to repent. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Oh, how important that is for you tonight. I'm so glad for most of us tonight, we've done that. And therefore, we can move on. This applies to us. Submitting to one another in the what? Fear of God. If you're not a Christian, you can't walk in the fear of God. In the reverence towards God. In the concern of what God has to say. Walking in that humility, knowing that we are but dust. And He is the Lord Almighty. And He has accepted us and drawn us to Himself. And who am I to judge somebody else or lord over or be the master of somebody else? Who am I? I'm not the master. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a servant. I'm a minister. We're all ministers. Ministers of reconciliation, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. After it says we're new creatures, new creations created in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to say we're ministers. The word is servant. And we're all called to be servants. And servants don't lord over other servants. Servants work together. And there's that submission. And that's an important foundation to see, because it goes on here to say in verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now you're going to find here as we go through this, a comparison between the husband and wife and the church in Christ. I want you to see that it's very important for us to find understanding. This is not just a teaching on husbands and wives. This is a teaching on Jesus Christ and His church, and how we see that within the marital relationship, and how if we apply the truths about Jesus Christ and His church to the marital relationships, it will work. And so it's important to see that this isn't just about marriage, though it definitely is about marriage, but not only. It's filled with the life of fellowship. It's filled with the life of Jesus Christ and His church. And this is a passage here, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, which has been lorded over women for so long, which has been slandered and looked down on by women and by the movement of the feminist movement, the women's lib movement. And we live in a time that people are not walking in the proper role that God has given to them. Women today are not walking in the proper role that God has given to them. And I don't mean every woman, but I mean in our society, our culture. There's a movement that is rebelling against this kind of a teaching, and it's bringing destruction to our nation. Hear it clearly. It's destroying the family. Because see, here's the thing. God is not saying, listen, woman, you're nothing. You're a second-class citizen, and you just need to submit yourself to your husband. No matter what he said, doesn't matter what he did, you just submit. See, that's not the spirit of this. But it's the Lord saying, submit to one another and let me show you how this works. I'm the Lord. I made you, I fashioned you, I created you, and I know what you need. There is so much rebellion today when it comes to submission of women or of men. Rebelling. And I pray you pick up the tape if you weren't here from 3 weeks ago when I taught verse 21. Because it ties the whole thing together. The submitting to one another in the fear of God. Sunday mornings we're going to be looking at this because I know it's such a controversial issue in the world and in the church today. And just looking at the role of the woman and looking at the role of the man, not based upon my opinions. Please hear me tonight. My opinions mean nothing, and I really mean that. Who am I? I'm just another servant. My area of service is to exposit the Word. My area of service is to say, this is what God's Word says about this topic, about this thing. And so when I come to issues like this, I don't have an opinion. I just have a declaration of what God's Word says. And I think it's real clear. And you might say, no, that's your opinion. Well, if it is my opinion has been taken from the Word of the Lord and that only. Because I'll tell you what, if it was my opinion, I'd teach it a whole different way. I fought God many times on His Word. I'd said, Lord, come on. But what do? You have to submit to the Word. You know, if I was God, I wouldn't, wife, submit to your husband. Man, and the world would be a mess. It would be. If I was leading the world, it would be a mess. I'm so thankful that that's not my responsibility. I'm so thankful my responsibility is just to say, this is what the Word says. And I will stand on that. And so we're going to be looking at this, the role of the woman, not just in marriage, but just in the church, in the world. What's God's design for the woman? And what's God's design for the man? I think those are real important. I want you to be praying over those and searching the Scriptures with me on that, because it's an issue that's going to come up often. Even if you're walking in that role, it's going to be an issue that's going to come up often in ministry and in sharing and in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because the church is backslidden. The church has left the Word of God. The church is accepting opinion and people that have, you know, a few letters after their name. Well, they said that. Big deal. What did God say? I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how many books you've written. I don't care who has, you know, endorsed your book. God's book is it. I mean, let's get a grip here. And we find this. There's so many books written on this today. If I was to set out to study this topic, to read all the books that was out there, I'd get back to you guys in about 30 years. And I'm going to be a hermit and go read. I mean, there's volumes and volumes and volumes of books on what's the wife's role, what's the woman's role, what's the man's role, what's the husband's role, and all kinds of opinions and ideas and suggestions and, you know, philosophies and all of this kinds of stuff. And the Lord says it real clear. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's real simple, but real beautiful and real powerful. If we would but see it in its right context and right light. He says here, wives, submit. The word submit is that word that speaks of getting in line with. It's a military word that's used of your all in it's submitted to one another. It's that word that you're following. It's a word that speaks of lining up as the soldiers, and they're all together. They're all submitted. It's a word that speaks of, it's a word sometimes translated subject. Maybe some of your translations have that. Subject yourself to your husband. And again, in our day, it's so abused and so misused. And interesting, because in Paul's day, when he writes this to the Ephesians, it was actually a word that would be liberating the women. And when he gets to the point here on men, it's going to be an absolute controversial issue in the church of Ephesus. You can guarantee it when Paul starts saying, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Because they didn't. Because the world at that time didn't do that, just like ours doesn't. Women were a second-class citizen, and that's not what Paul's putting them in. Paul is putting them in the equality with men. And there's so much, and again, I don't want to get too much into that because Sundays we'll look at that, and we have some text set before us tonight. So for all of your questions, just come Sunday with an open heart. For the husband, verse 23, is the head of the wife. So here's the rule. The husband is the head of the wife. Now watch this. As also Christ is the head of the church and He is the Savior of the body. Why should a wife submit to her husband? Because the husband, God ordained, is the head of the wife. God has put the man over the woman. Just like, as also, Christ is the head of the church. Now, is there in your heart as a Christian, is there a fear to submit yourself to Christ? If there is, you don't know Christ. You don't understand Christ. You see, for me, I know that when the word says submit yourself to God, I say, that's a good thing. That's great. I need that. I was made in such a way that I need Christ to be my leader. I need to simply say, it doesn't matter what I say, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is what does Jesus Christ say? And whatever He says is what I'm going to do. And there's a need in me, naturally, to have Christ as my leader. And I don't find it a bummer to submit to God. It's a joy. It's wonderful. It's safe. It's right. And so, and always when we compare this, it's in a lower sense. And I'm not saying, you know, to the women that you submit yourself to your husband, doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what you feel, it doesn't matter anything. No, I pray that your husband is a man of God. And we'll look at that, even if he isn't a man of God, what the Word of God tells you to do. If he's not obedient to the Word, we'll be looking at these things on Sunday. But I pray that he is, and I pray that for many of us here at Saving Grace, in our church family, I pray that we have men that are loving their wives as Christ loved the church. Because I can say this much. You know, it's interesting. Today is my anniversary. My wife and I's anniversary. It's interesting. I'm teaching on marriage on our anniversary. This is great. This is great, honey. And I'll tell you what, we have had a blessed marriage as we have followed God's design in God's Word. It's been wonderful. There has never been a time where I've said, "Your Word, Lord, doesn't work. This is just wrong." Nor has my wife ever said that. It's been difficult at times. You can guarantee it's difficult to love my wife as Christ loved the church. You bet I need to be filled with the Spirit. Absolutely, like 100%, totally controlled, because that's not me. And at the same time, for my wife to submit to a hard-headed, you know, idiot like myself, I just think, man, you must be just filled with the Spirit. Put up with me. Listen to all my garbage and put up with, you know, all of my trouble I cause you and my pride and all of this stuff. You just got to be filled. But you know what? It works. It works. And the word of the Lord to you tonight is it works. And it's not an issue in our family about, well, I'm not going to submit to you because you've been like this. Why? Because my wife's not submitting to me to submit to me. She's submitting to me as to the Lord. It's not about, well, I've got to submit to you. It's to be obedient to the Lord, to walk with God. I have to submit to you because that's what God's called me. And when I married you, I chose to do that. Might have been a choice she's regretted since, but she chose to do that. And when that choice has been made, it's been made. And now to the Lord, she's able to. And women, this is freeing. Hear it clearly. Because when your husband is like me sometimes, just a simple, and I don't want to, you know, be too rude, but a jerk. The guy's a jerk. He's acting like a kid. He's being, you know, just childish. You just think, what? Lord, you want me to follow this guy? I mean, come on. And, you know, there you are, and you know the Word of God is saying to submit. And if you keep looking at this guy you married, you're going to have a real hard time submitting. But if you got your eyes on Jesus, if you're doing it as to the Lord, it's a whole different thing. Because it's got nothing to do with what your husband does. It's got something to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, and that's really the breaking point for so many marriages. There's hope for any marriage that is willing, both partners, just to simply put their eyes on Jesus. And I realize, you know what? My calling to submit as a woman isn't for this guy, but it's obedience to the Lord. It's worship to the Lord. And this word, as unto the Lord, it's not just like I submit to the Lord, but it's as unto the Lord, as a worship to the Lord, as obedience to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it is freeing because there is stability there. When you're walking with the Lord and you're not allowing what other people do to affect that walk, there is stability in your life. There's a strength, and it's wonderful, and it's powerful. It's dynamic. You know, if you submit to your husband because he's being nice, and then when he's not, and he starts acting mean to you, I'm not going to submit to him. He doesn't deserve it. You're right. You're right. He doesn't deserve it. But you don't submit to your husband because he's a nice guy. You submit to your husband because you do it as out of obedience to the Lord, and period. So it doesn't matter what he does because it's between you and the Lord. Because here's the deal. When a woman is not submitting to her husband, whether he's a non-believer, he's a believer, whether he's obeying the word or not, whether he's nice or whether he's being a jerk, she's now... it's now affecting her walk, and now she's getting in the flesh and being disobedient to the Lord, and now she's no longer filled with the Spirit. And for those of you ladies tonight that aren't married, this is a word to you just as much as it is to any married woman. Because it's not an easy thing to do. And that's why I say this will manifest where you are with the Lord more than anything else, you can bet. When you're walking in the Spirit and the guy you married isn't, you know you're walking with the Lord. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where walking worthy of the calling really comes about. This is where it's all happening. And so to do it, it's liberating. Because no longer are you controlled by people around you. No longer are you controlled by the mood your husband's in. Because you're controlled by the Spirit of the Lord and obedience to the Lord. And you're able to walk in the Spirit no matter what's going on around you. It is one of the... It's not a burden. It's not binding. It's not chains. It's not depressing. But it's liberating. It's freeing because it's God's design for your life. And you can sit there in the midst of living with a guy that is just mean and rude and all of these things, and you can fellowship with God. And you can worship the Lord. And you can say, listen, all those who seek the Lord, let them rejoice and be glad. Those who love His salvation say continually, Lord, be magnified. Why? Because you can magnify the Lord. It doesn't matter about the things going on around you. And if you're married, your husband's going to be the most effective thing on the things going on around you, usually. And I'll tell you what, as I do marital counseling, and as I've seen this in my marriage and many others, when people are willing to obey the Word, obey the Lord, I watch life be produced. I watch blessing come, even when it is tough. Even when the circumstances are hard, it's wonderful because God is God and God knows. And He's a loving Father. And it's a blessing to me to watch it. And it's a blessing to me to see in your guys' life God working. I've seen some beautiful marriages here in our church and I'm blessed by them. And I'll tell you, The beautiful marriages that I see are people that simply are submitted to the Lord. And because they're submitted to the Lord, they're submitting to one another in the fear of God. They're people that are filled with the Spirit. And they're people that no matter what's going on around them, they're walking in the Spirit. And man, there's blessing that comes when you obey the Lord. And it's wonderful. And so he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, so also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now here's a big mistake. A big mistake that ladies make. Now for all of you women that are single tonight, and even for those of you that are married, here's a word for you. A lot of times a girl, especially the girls, you know, my mom, she has this like day camp thing over her house. You know, all the kids are there and stuff. And she has a little dress-up room for the girls. Well, the guys, I guess, could do it too, but there's not many guys interested. They're out sweating and kicking the ball in the backyard in 100 degrees weather. But the girls, they play dress-up. They have wedding dresses in there, and they get dressed up. Little girls, they're thinking about a wedding. What 10-year-old boy thinks about a wedding? I mean, come on. They could care less about a wedding. What 25-year-old man that's not married thinks about a wedding? They think about marriage. Hey, babe, yeah, whatever, let's do it. Let's go to the pastor's office. Yeah, yeah. You know, wedding. You know, women have this whole just desire for marriage almost their whole life. And dreams and fantasies and all this. And I always tell them in premarital counseling, just expect it all to be ruined. don't expect it to be what it is, because they get all of this glamour, all this stuff, and then they begin to look at this, you know, this guy in their life that they're in love with and all of these things, and especially right before they get married, and oh, he's it, and it's going to be wonderful. But what they're going to come to realize, he's not the Savior of the body. Jesus Christ is. And he is going to fail. And if their hope is in their fiancé, in their husband, big trouble. Big trouble. You see, when we compare Christ and the church, we can only go so far as we compare marriage, the husband and wife. The husband is not the Savior of the body. Hear it clearly. Women, he can't be. He's a sinner. He's going to fail you. But you know, you can know this. When your eyes are on Jesus, he is the Savior of the body. He won't fail you. He is the greatest husband that ever lived. You can pray your husband to be more like him each day, and that's a good thing. But he is that which is going to hold you together. And it's awesome to watch a marriage when the woman is submitting to the Lord. And in submitting to the Lord, she's submitting to her husband. And as she's doing that, she also has her eyes on the Lord, and her hope is not her husband, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it is, it's awesome to see how loving, how gentle, how submissive, and how wonderful she is. How filled with the Spirit, you could sum it up there. So many times, though, there's this huge mistake, a real deception, I think. Women going into marriage thinking, it's going to change everything, and now my life's going to be great. Right now I'm miserable, but when I get married, it's going to be great. Huh, and it only gets worse. And those that have been married and have gone that route and thought that way, no. And they could stand up tonight and herald, don't put your hope in man. Don't put your hope in man. Because there's no hope there. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body, and to only him can that title be given. It cannot be given to men. And it's so important for us to see this. And I'll tell you what, you will be blessed, women. You will be blessed if you understand that. And your marriage will, and I know there's a lot here that are engaged. A lot. The calendar is packed from now till December. About every other weekend. Marriage, premarital counseling is happening a lot here at the church right now. And there's a lot of you, and let me clear up a lot of premarital counseling tonight. If you go into marriage, because I don't want to give the idea that you're husband's just going to be miserable to live with and horrible. If he is, don't get married to him. But if you go into marriage with the understanding that Jesus Christ is it, He is your leader, He is your Savior, He is your Lord. If your husband dies, Jesus Christ will not. He is there for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. If your husband, God forbid, commit adultery on you and left you, Jesus Christ will never leave you. He is there. If you got that understanding, you can go into marriage and have a blast. You really can. Because it's the way God designed it. When your eyes are on Him, man, you can go in and just flourish and love your husband and realize he's going to fail and have grace for him and all of these things and just be blessed. But if you don't go into it like that, if you think he's it, and ladies that are married tonight, you might even be in this way. Why isn't he? Because him. And why? If he would only. Listen, you've got the Lord. Those you ladies that have husbands that aren't saved, they're not here tonight. Listen, Jesus Christ is your Savior. Your husband's not. And you guys probably agree with me. Yeah, you're right. He's not. But listen, there's hope for you. There is. And there's strength and there's stability. It's yours in Christ. There's victory. You don't have to be miserable because you have a Savior. He is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body and church. Let us hear it clearly. Let us see it. Jesus Christ is the Savior of this body. There's no pastor. There's no leader. There's no person that's going to bring you happiness. But Jesus Christ is the Savior. And if our eyes are on anything else, church, I'm talking to the church now. Because this is what it's talking about, the church. He's the Savior of the church. Church, if our eyes are not on Jesus Christ, we will be a miserable, defeated church. But church, hear it clearly. If our eyes are on Jesus Christ, if we realize He's our Savior, and if we're falling in love with Him more and more, and if we're seeking Him, we can rejoice and be glad. We can be blessed. We can magnify Him, and you know what? We can have victory, and we can watch the power of God move through us as a people. And we can see God magnified through the world, because you know what? He's a Savior of the body. He's our Savior, and He's the Savior of others that don't know it yet. And we can go forth with power. We can go forth in victory. We can move forth in that which the Lord has for us. I pray. I plead. I ask. Us to be people who put our eyes on the Lord and realize, man, we have much to worship the Lord for and rejoice in and to give God glory and to give the Lord honor. It's awesome just to see this text here. It says, therefore, just as Christ, verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in some things. Oh, no. It says in everything. My dyslexia was getting me there. No, it wasn't. That's a heavy word. Therefore, based upon this, just as the church is subject to Christ, just as this whole thing is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. How can you do that? How can a wife be submitted to her own husband in everything? Because it's in the Lord. Only in the Lord. And in everything, there are some, you know, there are some stipulations there. If it's your husband's asking you to do things that are absolutely against the commandments of God, that's not something that you ought to be subject to. Now, give it, Paul is talking to the church and he's assuming that they're Christians. He realizes some husbands, some wives aren't Christians. There's some mixed marriages, but in everything, and so many times women say, well, no, that's it. Oh, okay, I'll be submissive when it's easy, but when it gets difficult, I will not submit to this guy. I mean, he is just out of control. You know, I've had women in my office just going off. That man made me think their husband was the biggest jerk in the world, and he very well might be. But you know, it comes down to submitting to the Lord. Submitting to the Lord. And here's the word for us, the church. Just Paul is just, it's a given to Paul that the church is submitted to Christ. in everything. It's just a given. Just as Christ, just as the church is submitted to Christ, so also let the wives be submitted to their own husbands in everything. Listen, I think we need to go over this. I know it's elementary, and we ought not to, but I think we need to. That there's nowhere in the Word of God that teaches that Christians can live how they want to live and still be Christians. There's nowhere in the Word of God that teaches you can have Jesus as your Savior and not as your Lord. Absolutely not. The Word of God is very clear. And Paul is just kind of like, just like that. You guys know that to be true. I don't have to exhort on it, is what he's saying. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives. He's pulling a comparison, but come back to the comparison and ask yourself, church, are we subject to Jesus Christ in everything? Are we surrendered to Jesus Christ? You see, the American culture has brought about this religious church. It's not a biblical church, it's a religious church. And there's a lot of it out there. And it's strayed from the Word of God, and it's totally backslidden. And people go week after week to church, but they're not subject to Christ. They're not submitted. They kind of say, well, I don't... Well, and this is the way we get around it. Well, that's your opinion. Well, that's your view. That's your view, Trent, that I have to be submitted to Christ in everything. Oh, that's not my opinion nor my view. That's what Paul the Apostle declares, inspired by the Holy Spirit as he writes Scripture. It's the Word of God. And it's interesting because people that say that's your opinion, that's your view, are people that take whatever view sounds good to them and don't study it out. Because it's not about... It's amazing the articles I read, things I read about, views I read about that are just so ridiculous, and you can tell the people that are writing them don't hold to the inspiration of the Scriptures. And if they do, they haven't looked at the Scriptures. Because if the Bible says it, that settles it. Done. Who's a view? I mean, so now everybody's getting, well, we don't believe that part's inspired. Now that's the new thing. Well, we only believe, well, what do you, oh, so you can tell me what's inspired, what's not. Oh, that's great. What I don't like is not inspired. What I do is. What kind of human logic is that? It's so we don't have to submit to Christ in everything. Church, I pray tonight that we would be a church that simply reads our Bibles and submits. I love Ray Comforter at the end of all of his tracks. His follow-up counseling, you know, is read your Bible every day and obey what you read. Read the end of his tract. Read your Bible every day and obey what you read. That's his follow-up counseling. Hey, it will work. If they do it, it will work. If someone reads the Bible every day and obeys what they read, they're going to be filled with the Spirit and anointed by God and great disciples and Christians. It's not difficult. You can take an amateur and they can read the Bible and understand the Bible, and if they obey the Word of God, they're going to find the power that is declared in the book of Acts. Well, now we got all these theologians and all these new, you know, councils that are getting together and telling us, you know, the Jesus seminar and who's what's inspired and what's not, and all these people and all these guys with their doctorate degrees and their all their, you know, names after their, or their letters after their names and degree after degree and all this junk, and nobody's obeying the Word of God. Right. And they know everything about the Word of God. In fact, they're rewriting the Word of God. But you don't see any power in the church, do you? You don't see the book of Acts. And they're starting to say, well, that was for that day. And the dispensation's gone. No longer there's miracles. No longer these things. Oh, great. Well, no longer God is God anymore. No longer God is powerful. Why? Because we don't want to obey God. And we want to make up our own God. And it's just a graven image. It's making up our own God. And because people will go so far out of their way and spend their whole life studying and arguing and making views and all these different things, so they don't have to obey the Lord. Now, where do you think evolution came from? The whole theory of evolution came so we could say there's no God, and if then there's no God, there's no accountability to a God. I realize that's outside of the church. Awesome. Today, Kansas, state of Kansas, has kicked evolution out of their schools, no longer allowed to be taught. Yes. Praise God. Amen. It's a theory. People have accepted it as a fact. Why? Because if they accept it as a fact, well, they don't have to be accountable to the Lord. I praise God. I'm amazed, to be real honest. I thought I thought our nation was going the other way. And you know, there's other states right now that are on the bandwagon and going to be trying to do it too. And we need to be praying for that. Because what deception evolution is. And I'll tell you what the root of it is when there's no God, there's no accountability, and we can do what we want to do. And it's a bunch of baloney. And we need to come back to simplicity. The simple word of God. It's real simple. There's not much here, really, about marriage. We discovered it, women. There's a passage on marriage. That's the book you need to read. Obey what you read and find the power of the Lord. Jesus Christ, so be magnified in our midst tonight as we simply obey the Word of God. And don't try to tell God who He is, but read the Word and let God tell. Every time I talk to a Christian that I would put in the category of a church, I call it churchianity, a churchgoer. And I bring something out of the Word, they go, oh, that's just your opinion. These people, I'm telling you, have never studied that scripture. And it's so accepted, that's your opinion. And that's why we need to come back to the expositing of the scriptures, to looking at the Greek, to looking at the culture that it was written in, the time, and saying, what did it mean to the original hearers? What it meant to them, it still means today. And it's interesting, people say, well, the Bible isn't relevant. It's not relevant, really. We're not having a problem today in our society with marriages, really. We're not having a problem today with women saying, no, we're not going to be women no more. We're not going to raise children and all that. No way, we're equal to men and all this. And men aren't saying, you know, we're not going to. I mean, today, what's the problem? Everything's flipping around. Everybody's getting divorced. Same problems Paul was dealing with. Exact same problems that were going on in Ephesus in the first century and was going on in B.C. before that and was going on after that and is going on today. People are still people. People still have the same problems. People want loopholes. People want to justify their sin. People want to give a reason why they don't have to do what they're doing. And people don't want to submit to the Lord. If we want to submit to the Lord tonight, it's right here for us. Read your Bible and obey what you read, and you'll find the life of the Spirit. And you know what? All of these things, and I know a lot of you guys are out there in these colleges, and there's a bunch of liberals out there. And I'll tell you what, read your Bible and obey what you read. Don't let these liberals trip you up. It's a deceptive lie of Satan. But you study to show yourself approved unto God, that you can rightly divide the word of truth, that you don't need to be ashamed. You just study the word. Don't study views. Study the word. You'll get views. God's view. It's real clear. It's wonderful. It's powerful. And I know Satan, he wants to just sow seeds of doubt in all of our minds. That's why you need to set. If you're out in school, if you're out there in these colleges, Christian or not, there's liberals all over. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. Saturate your mind with the truth of God's Word. Speak the truth in love because you know it and you grow up by it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for, Lord, the richness, Lord, of your Word, the stability that we can have, Lord, as we just simply lean ourselves upon your Word. Lord, I pray tonight that we would be a church, God, that in every area, Lord, are submitted to you. God, we don't want to be, Lord, influenced by our culture, but Jesus Christ, I pray that you would help us to influence our culture with your truth, with your light, with your love, and that you would cause us to be a church that grows, Lord, that is sanctified, that goes deeper and deeper as our culture gets darker and darker. Oh God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would take us, that you would stir us up, Lord, to the simplicity of your word. Bring us back, Lord, to, Lord, your view on life, to your view, Lord, on eternity, on marriage, on family. on working out in the world and being a disciple of Jesus Christ, on spiritual warfare, on holiness, on Christian living, on the church body. Lord, it's so here for us in the book of Ephesians. God, if all we had was Ephesians, we could be Christians and have a strong walk. But Lord, You haven't left us just with Ephesians. You've given us the Old and New Testament. And we thank You. We pray we would be, Lord, those that know Your Word, but do more than know. We would be doers of Your Word. Lord Jesus, I pray You'd fill our church, Lord, with a renewal, Lord, of the simplicity and the coming back to the written Word. And Lord, in that renewal, we pray that there'd be a refreshing, Lord, pouring out of Your Holy Spirit upon us as we step forth in faith and obey Your Word and find, Lord, that it's not dry, it's not empty, it's not just theology, it's life. And that our walks might manifest what Your Word declares. And that the light of the gospel would shine forth and the glory of God would be upon this church and upon these people. And God, I pray that we would go into the uttermost parts of the earth and that we would, no matter what culture said there, no matter what different cultures declare, we would stand strong upon Your Word and would not compromise the truths of the gospel. And we would be like Paul and be ready to die. We would be like Peter. We'd be like James. We'd be like the early apostles and those on, Lord, of the martyrs of the church. We would stand for the truth of the Word because we have conviction, because we've lived it and we know that it's true and it works and it produces life. It's not just something we've learned in school or at church. But God, it's us. It's the very essence of our being. It's fellowship with You and it's our faith, God. It's our life. And Lord, we can't wait to stand before You and to see You. We pray that the rapture would happen tonight. We pray, Lord, that You would come. We are ready. We are a bride waiting for her husband. Waiting for the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, You come according to Your will. And between now and then, let us live and let us be lit on fire for You. And Lord, we give our hearts to You now. We thank You and we bless You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to come to the table of communion. As we come tonight, I pray You'd come realizing the blood of Jesus was shed. Body was broken that You and me might have forgiveness indeed. And as we come, the Bible says that we do this in remembrance of Him. Remember the work of the cross. Remember the worthiness of Jesus Christ. As you take of the cup, as you take of the bread, as we pray, as we sing, as we declare God's Word, as we declare His glory, as we celebrate what He's done for us, let us do it with hearts that are clean. Come tonight to the table. Repent. Come to the Lord. Let Him cleanse you. Let Him change you. Let Him work in you. Don't just go. The lights are going to dim. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to pray. It's time to get right with God. Because He's calling you. Because He's drawing near to you. And as we come to the table, let us rejoice. As we turn from our sin, there's reason to rejoice tonight because there's forgiveness indeed. You're forgiven. Come and receive that forgiveness.